Welcome, everybody, to Redacted on this Tuesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And this is where we cut through the daily dose of propaganda coming out of your government and your mainstream media. And we've got a lot of stories to unpack for you on this Tuesday. Today, we're going to look at a $5 million lawsuit being leveled at conservative influencers, conservative podcasters, journalists who are asking questions about Kash Patel and the FBI.
Welcome in, sir.
Welcome in, Grim. Nice to hear you as well.
Pretty good.
Oh, Grim is muted. And we're going to talk about all of that. Kash Patel's girlfriend suing podcasters for $5 million.
Also, new revelations about Epstein's ties to Mossad, to intelligence. We're going to talk about that because the Trump administration continues to say, no, that's just a Democratic talking point. It's not. We know that. So we're going to look at that. We're also going to look at the rise of Christian nationalism because UK media is saying, uh-oh, this is really scary. Can you imagine them saying that about any other religion? The rise of Buddhism, would that be scary? The rise of Hinduism.
Of course, Christianity is the greatest threat to their power. It is the greatest threat to everything that they stand for. So, of course, that this would be the greatest threat to civilization.
Right. So I'm really looking forward to talking to Father Robinson about that. Hey, you might have noticed I'm wearing a new redacted shirt. This is something we came up collectively, and I really like it. So take a look at this. You can find this on the Redacted store. Be smarter than your algorithm. Now, the reason I came up with this, because I noticed that idiots who fight with me online like to link me to things that their algorithm pushes to them that they have not studied. You shouldn't be that person. You know better. Your algorithm is constantly trying to fire you up, but you read ahead, dear friend. That's what wearing this shirt signals to me. So maybe you'd like that. You can find it at the Redacted store at redactedstore.com and let us know what you think of it. I'm very proud to wear this shirt. I came up with the idea myself.
Great shirt. Awesome. All right. Thank you.
Before we get to all of this, I should say to you, I have a low-grade fever, and so I'm feeling a little bit out of sorts today. It's 99.9. Like, I don't like to not give something 100%. How am I just not quite getting there? Anyway.
See if we can push her over 100, everyone.
So these news stories are upping my temperature. Let's see where I get. I guess it's just I'm fighting something low grade, so you will forgive me. Those are the disclaimers that I have to say. I'm wearing a new shirt, got a small fever, but I'm here. Glad to see you, my darling. Happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there and to Grim, who runs our show. Okay, here we go. Before we get into the news, though, we want to tell you about our friends over at IQ Bar because they are a great way to have nutrition on the go. And as a mother of three, I do carry these. I carry not just the IQ Bars, but also the packets, the drink packets as well, because they're fantastic electrolytes on the go. It is real fuel powered by real nutrition. It's fantastic. It's basically like, you know, taking an electrolyte drink wherever you go. I have them in my medicine bag. I have them in my purse and my car. So you should check out their offerings. Text redacted to 64,000 and you'll see exactly all the different flavors and all the snacks on the go. Because if you are busy like we are, you have three kids. Well, maybe you don't have three. Maybe you have more. Maybe you have less. It's important to make sure that you're always ready. They have no gluten, no dairy, no soy, no GMO, and no artificial sweeteners. It's packed with clean, delicious ingredients that keep you physically and mentally fit, like magnesium, lion's mane, adaptogens, and more. So check out their various flavors. I really like the almond and the peanut ones. The blood orange is a favorite of ours, as well as the electrolyte packets. So text redacted to 64000. You'll get 20% off plus free shipping. One more time, we really thank IQ Bar for their support. Text redacted to 64,000.
All right. Well, why are Jeffrey Epstein's ties to Israeli intelligence being actively buried by the Trump administration? Almost all of the mainstream media doesn't want you to talk about this at all. They're not covering it. And alternative media is almost entirely not covering these connections. Why is this one part of the story just being left aside? It's a good question because the silence is deafening. Well, stunning new revelations are coming to light showing just how deep those ties were between Israeli intelligence and Jeffrey Epstein. Perhaps that's why we haven't received the Epstein files, because it would embarrass a foreign adversary. Almost no one in alternative media is doing actual journalism to get to the bottom of it. However, our next guest is Murtaza Hussein from Dropside News, along with his journalism partner, Ryan Grimm, have just dropped a few bombshells over the past few days. But the most recent one dropped today on Jeffrey Epstein's ties to foreign intelligence. Once again, here's the headline. Israeli spy stayed for weeks at a time with Jeffrey Epstein in Manhattan. Their latest article shows just how Top Israeli spy stays with Epstein at his New York City apartment for weeks at a time.
It happens.
And that's just the beginning of it. Murtaza is joining us today to talk all about that and the latest revelations that you guys have been digging into. Welcome to the show. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Clayton and Natalie. Appreciate it.
Our pleasure. So it's just kind of a normal occurrence, I guess, for Israeli spies to be staying at your house for weeks at a time.
Right.
When's the last time an Israeli spy stayed at your house for weeks at a time?
I got one in the bathroom right now, actually. Well, you know, first of all, I want to thank you for discussing this issue on the show. And as you said, there is like a blackout on the subject. And, you know, our reporting, as you mentioned, we've done a couple stories on the subject in the past few weeks. It's not based on any private information that's not already out there. There's the House Oversight Committee disclosures. There's documents about Epstein that was released as part of a lawsuit between J.P. Morgan and the U.S. Virgin Islands over allegations that they helped facilitate his sex trafficking. And finally, there's a cache, there's several caches of leaked emails, which are on the internet on a website called the Distributed Denial of Secrets, which is like a successor to WikiLeaks in a way, which show you Epstein's contacts with senior Israeli officials. It's kind of all out there, but people have not been discussing this angle of the story. And, you know, we've been digging into it at Drop Site, spending time going through the publicly released documents as well as the hacked documents. And there's a lot there. It's interesting because some of the reporting that has been done, it's kind of like nothing burger reporting. They've reported like, you know, this happened, we already knew this, and then they treat that as the story. That's a term that people may be familiar with. In my opinion, it's called a limited hangout.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was thinking, that's a limited hangout. You just give us this little drop of news and you say, no, that's already been reported. That's not really news. So shut up about it.
Exactly. So, you know, we've been reporting it very in-depth and we're following the story where it goes. And it does show tremendous contacts of Epstein with not just Israeli intelligence, but also Russian intelligence and U.S. intelligence as well, too. But it seems like he worked very closely with the Israelis. And I think that issue may be why it's too sensitive or people don't like to discuss it or they don't want to invest resources in covering it, because it's a very politically sensitive issue in the United States. And, you know, it steps on a lot of people's toes. But we're a small organization and we're professionals, so we're able to cover it and we're interested in covering it. And I can say there's a lot there.
And so your reporting shows that this person was connected to then Israeli Minister of Defense Ehud Barak, who comes up often in Epstein's life story. So that it's not unusual, right? Can you just maybe give us a reminder of his connection to Israel? And as Tucker Carlson says many times, just what is the likelihood that someone without training, like Jeffrey Epstein, without really ties, without a family connection, without any panache in his life before this, has all of these high-level connections?
So that's a really important point you raised, because if you look at these emails, it's fascinating because it showed the relationship between Barak, the former Israeli prime minister and defense minister, and Epstein. But it's not like Epstein is looking up to Barak or trying to get his attention. It's really vice versa. The power dynamic is all really on Epstein's side in these conversations. And Epstein is effectively helping Barak while he's defense minister and after he leaves his role as Israeli defense minister in 2013, helping him make money, helping him make contacts all around the world, and kind of using him as a tool of promoting Israeli intelligence-linked surveillance technology firms to foreign countries. And in doing so, Barak made a lot of money. But Epstein himself didn't seem to be interested in making money. And he had more contacts with people around the world, high-level government officials in Central Asia and Europe and Africa and Russia and Israel and the U.S., more connections than anyone I think could ever organically have, if that makes sense. He was very, very connected. He was making introductions for Barak and others all over the world, the high-level business people in the U.S. as well, too. He was at the center of all of it. He was like a fixer for very powerful people. And like I said, people often ask the question, and I heard this circulating long before our reporting, did Epstein work for the Mossad or something like that? I think the answer is no. I don't think he did work for the Mossad. It was more like the Mossad was beneath him in some hierarchy that he was under. I don't have the full picture of it. I don't think anyone does yet. It's still something evolving as information comes out. Hopefully the Epstein files from the Trump administration will eventually come out. But, you know, clearly from looking at the emails, it's not that he's taking orders from Barak or anyone like that. If anything, it's almost vice versa.
Interesting. In your reporting, I think one of the maybe the story that I thought was totally buried is this Alex Acosta, the U.S. prosecutor story that came out in October. So I think this got buried. I didn't hear about any reporting on this really at all, which is what he then said in this interview, Because it's been widely reported that Alex Acosta said, you know, that Epstein was intelligence. That's why we didn't go further or harder with more of a prosecution angle on Jeffrey Epstein because he was intelligence. Basically, I was told to back off. And now he's like refuting that.
Well, that's the really interesting part, because so much of this stuff is contained in disclosures that the government's already made. In my opinion, they made these disclosures in a very, like, they underplayed it and they released them in a way which is deliberately disorganized, or, you know, effectively disorganized, makes it difficult to find the, you know, put it together in the way that we did. But, you know, these are Epstein's schedules, and we saw this Israeli intelligence agent's name in the schedule that the government released showing Epstein's personal communications. This testimony by Acosta, he's sort of disavowing something that he reportedly said to Steve Bannon many years ago, that Epstein was, quote unquote, with intelligence, and that's why he was pressured to give him a sweetheart deal in his first sex trafficking conviction. So, you know, he seems to disavow that in this new testimony that was released by the government. But ironically, the same batch of information that they released, the same documents they released, show exactly what Acosta is denying, that Epstein clearly did have ties with at least Israeli intelligence, because Israeli intelligence agents, high-level military intelligence people, were staying in his apartment in Manhattan on numerous occasions. So that itself belies the claim they made in that transcript. I think that maybe they're counting on two things, like the major news organizations can be politically pressured not to report on it. And then the smaller ones or individuals, they may not have the time or the resources to report on it. You know, DropSite's a small organization, but we're all professionals. We've been reporting for many, many years. So we're able to do it with relatively little resources. But, you know, they've created like a situation where it's as difficult as possible to do that. And it's just fascinating, because all the story is already right there. It's just that people are unable or unwilling to put it together at the moment. And regardless of what they're doing to try to suppress the story, more information which is undermining that is coming out. So that's why I think the political pressure, and you guys covering it and other people talking about it, is great, because we need to see the full transparency about this issue, because it seems to implicate so many people and it's so damning. I can see why they're trying to suppress it. But, you know, it's in the interest of people who live in this country and pay taxes that they should know what exactly was happening. What would Jeffrey Epstein ties to foreign countries or intelligence agencies here? What was going on? And I'll say one last thing. The story we just reported about Ehud Barak and this Israeli military intelligence agent who's staying in Epstein's house, one of the things that came out in the Snowden documents, which I also reported on many years ago, over a decade now, was that the NSA was surveilling Barak and this agent at that time. So the U.S. government was concerned about what was going on, too, for some reason that never disclosed. I think we need to have transparency about that now, and we need to know what exactly was taking place, because I don't think they can suppress the story any longer without the truth in some form coming out.
That's wild.
That's
Snowden piece is wild. That's not an aside. That's huge to me. Also huge that you reported that Epstein had a role in brokering a security agreement between Israel and Mongolia, brokering a back channel between Israel and Russia during the Syrian war. He was not an elected official. So why did he have any diplomatic power, given that the United States, that there were some adults in the room who knew that this guy was trafficking children? But, oh, that was just a little hobby on the side. He brokered peace deals between international countries. That belies any logic.
But he's a diplomat. He's a sex trafficker, but he's also a diplomat. So we'll just give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. He's a math teacher. That was he's a very, very active math teacher.
Yeah. He's like, who is Deacon Brody? Duncan Brody. Jekyll and Hyde.
Right.
Basically. Yeah,
by day he's this, by night he's going out and doing
sure,
this.
Sure, he does some sex trafficking at night, but also he's doing peace deals diplomatically.
So, you know, very briefly on that point, he had very close ties with very powerful Russian oligarchs who were able to set up meetings for Barak on Epstein's behalf with Vladimir Putin. He had so much pull and so much influence and able to connect people and make the necessary introductions. He was, according to his correspondence, he was talking to Putin himself as well, too, about various different things. He was somebody who was in a very, very unique position, extremely powerful, extremely sought after. And none of the explanation about who he was or, you know, what he was up to really makes much sense. And, you know, yeah, all that, the narrative that currently exists does not add up. And I see why people are upset about this. And they're going to get more upset the longer it stays out, because it's almost insulting people's intelligence, insulting the intelligence of the American public, because you're telling them something which is self-evidently not true and just counting on them not being able to dig up the actual facts of the matter.
Right. I mean, you're gaslighting people and you're telling them that when you ask questions about Epstein's Israeli ties, shut up, you anti-Semite. can't ask questions about it. Or we were told that this is not MAGA. Remember a few weeks ago, we were told that this is not MAGA.
Who cares about that? And you know, also, who cares? It's anti-American as
it's
well.
It's anti-American to ask questions about Epstein. Can I just ask you about, so maybe if we drill in a little bit more on who this guy was, this Israeli spy that just happened to be sleeping at Jeffrey Epstein's house for weeks at a time. What do we know about this guy?
Yeah, so this gentleman was named Yoni Koren. He was Ehud Barak's chief of staff for many years. He was a very well-known person in the Israeli security establishment. He'd taken part in many operations. He was like a very storied figure and decorated figure in the Israeli security establishment. He worked closely with Barak for many, many years. And as per the correspondence that we see in Barak's inbox, he was working with Epstein and Barak to help source technology from Israeli cyber weapon companies as part of their ongoing work to promote these companies around the world. And in promoting them, also subsequently promote diplomatic deals between Israel and foreign countries. So basically, there was like this interesting sort of operation they had going where they would accomplish multiple things at the same time. They would go to foreign countries which had security problems and say, hey, Barak would go through Epstein's invitation, usually most of the time. And he would say, hey, we have a way of solving these problems with you. I'm Ehud Barak. I was the Israeli defense minister. I was a very, well-known prime minister and security official for many years. I can connect you with the technology firms that can help build up a surveillance apparatus for you. We've reported some of the details of those apparatuses they built in places like Cote d'Ivoire. And, we can solve your security problem. If you have an uprising or if you have a disloyalty in the army or something like that, we can help you build a full-fledged turnkey security package with the help of these Israeli firms. And these firms were led by people who were also Israeli intelligence agents. So it was kind of like a full circle. And then the firms would come into the country and then they would set up their security system, set up their surveillance system. And then a few years later, most of the time or very often, the Israeli government would come and sign a formal security agreement with that country to solidify the pact that had begun with these private sector security corps. Cooperation. And this cooperation, which is never really, of course, mentioned when they signed the final deal, is that it was initially, put together or facilitated by Jeffrey Epstein. And Jeffrey Epstein helped Barak do this in Mongolia. He helped do it in Cote d'Ivoire. He helped do it in some other countries, because we're going to do some more stories about this. We already have many scheduled stories lined up talking about different countries where this happened. And, he was very integral into making these connections happen. He was a back channel operator, extremely powerful, influential one. And he helped build security states created by Israel, in many, many different countries around the world. And, one can imagine when a foreign country is building your surveillance apparatus, the back doors that they could build into that, their own access, unbeknownst to the end user that they may have, data privacy, all those issues, they all come to light. And we think about it in terms of China, and rightly so, a lot of the time. But, obviously the same issue arises with Israel, too. What did they build in these systems? And, how did Jeffrey Epstein, why was he so invested in helping him do this? That's also, I think, a legitimate question.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sounds really like a clean guy.
Nobody's Epstein. Ever asked me to broker any diplomatic deals as a private citizen. It's just ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we should check with our kids' math teachers and see if they're out there also.
I know.
Moonlighting as diplomats somewhere trying to broker peace agreements. Murtaza, thank you so much for this.
You guys are killing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Check out DropSite News and what you guys are working on next. You got a great series of documents over there. Again, why is no one covering this? I just don't understand. I mean, it's because I guess, Trump told everyone to stop talking about it. So we all have to stop talking about it now. Kash Patel told us that he's only sex trafficking women to himself. So, just got to listen to Kash Patel. Thank you so much for your great work over there. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks both for having me. Appreciate it.
Our pleasure. All right. Coming up on the show, speaking of Kash Patel, and being silenced, we're going to talk about Kash Patel's girlfriend, who is now suing different, I guess you could call them conservative podcasters, not necessarily MAGA at all, but people who are asking questions about, first of all, like, where are the Epstein files? Why is Kash Patel using the FBI jet to fly around when we're in a government shutdown to go to his girlfriend's, like, country musical shows and all of these other things? And also asking questions about potential ties to Israel. I guess all of that's off limits now because Kash Patel's girlfriend is suing them for $5 million. We're going to hear from one of those individuals who just got sued coming up in just a moment. But first, We have to tell you about how you can actually make your money work for you right now. How would you like to get up annualized returns up to 9%? I know if you've looked at your savings account lately, probably like a 0.1% return, maybe less than that. Yes, I'm talking about 9% annualized returns. That's with real estate investing in real estate short notes. And the best part is you can actually start investing for as little as $500. $500, that's all you need to get started investing in real estate, which is one of my favorite ways to invest in real tangible assets, cash flowing properties that are being built across this country. And you can do it with our friends at Connect Invest. Real estate has long been a proven way to build wealth for most. The barriers, the high cost, complex management, lack of time, make it seem totally out of reach. And that's where Connect Invest comes in. We've been working with them for many, many years now. And again, with as little as $500, you can start earning fixed monthly returns by investing in short notes. And the best part is you can choose the note. Oh, I want to do it for 6 months, 12 months, 24 months. You think about it like a CD back in the day, right? Well, they still exist, but you just pick the length. And then based on that, that's the type of return you would get. So if you've got $50,000 you want to put into it, great. Then that's tied up for 6 months, 12 months. So anyway, walk through the process with them. I would recommend just using the website right there. Go to redacted.inc/invest today. And if you sign up, just $500 is all you need to get started. You'll get a $50 bonus just for signing up. And we had about, I don't know, it was like 30 of our viewers just last week signed up and started working with Connect Invest. They're a great company. We personally use them, so I highly recommend it if you want to get started investing and actually make your money work for you. 9% returns when inflation is eating away at the US dollar every day. Again, redacted.inc/invest just to learn more. You sign up today, you get a $50 bonus in your account. All right, let's just check in on the chat room here and see what's going on here.
Oh, someone likes my shirt. Thank you for that.
This is the new
shirt. Be smarter than your algorithm. When you wear this, again, you're telling people, I get that your algorithm has turned your emotions up to 11. I'm smarter than that. I don't believe everything the algorithm gives me. I read ahead. We are Hermione Grangers in this room. So only people who are smarter than their algorithm can wear this shirt.
And
go ahead, Phil.
I think that's the first and only time I've ever seen you wear a t-shirt.
A t-shirt? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. She's like, "What? I'm going to wear a t-shirt on the show today." I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, our studio gets so damn hot. Like it's perfect for it. Supercharger says, "Hey, under capitalism, you can have that shirt made. You don't even have to ask permission from the government to wear it. Just pay for it yourself." Yep. That's why America is great.
Oh, yeah. You're saying you don't have to be smarter than your algorithm. You can still wear the shirt. That's true. You can be a poser and be manipulated by your algorithm and still wear the shirt, but you're signaling to the world that you're not. So anyway, I want this to be a thing, you know, again, because I noticed that whenever people come for me online, and it's usually friends from California that I grew up with, like, how come you don't know this? And then link me to stupid Instagram reels. And I'm like, you're smarter than that, right? You need to read a book, not watch Instagram reels. You got to be smarter than that.
Marvin Vargas in our chat room, thank you for your $5 super chat, says, please have John Mark Dugan on the show. I'd love to have John on. I'm not sure where he's been lately. Does he live in Russia now, or he lives in the Donbass? He was involved in the Epstein arrest back in 20. I would definitely.
He has been on, hasn't he? No.
No, he hasn't.
We spoke to him when we spoke to Mike Jones.
I think I was a guest on his show. I can't recall. Anyway. Okay, just waiting on our next guest here. We're going to get to that in a second. Let's just keep checking on the chat room here. Rogue 2. Yeah, we need another t-shirt that says, come at me, bro, in the chat room. Come at me, bro.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, how do you guys feel? I mean, just sort of checking in on right now on the Epstein piece of this. Are you taking sort of the Trump administration's position on this, that there's nothing to see here, stop asking questions? Or do you think that this is one of the most important questions that was asked of the then candidate Trump? Like, will you release these files? We're going to be the most transparent administration in history. Kash Patel saying, absolutely, we're going to do this. J.D. Vance saying, release the files. We absolutely need to release these Epstein files. You know, what exactly is happening here? So let me know in the comments below. Do you think it is? Brandon says, I think it's dirty as hell.
Someone says, where do you get the shirt? It's redactedstore.com. You can find it at redactedstore.com, our latest offering. But yes, I don't think you guys are buying this. I see I'm watching the Rumble chat right now, also on YouTube. No. Nobody's like, oh, okay, that's fine. I got myself worked up about that. It's all good. I'll just move on. The problem is, how do we be outraged about everything and make progress on anything? Because, you know, we're pissed at the 50-year mortgage idea. We're pissed at the $2,000 stimulus. We're pissed about this line about Epstein. Now we're pissed about lawfare from the head of the FBI. What else? Let's see. What are we talking about? All of it. So how do we get anywhere when we have legitimate concerns right now? It's something I think about all the time.
J-Ham Stoneface says, don't make promises you can't or won't keep. They are hiding something, Wizpunk says. They are hiding. People, Roy Rush says, are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? I think that's a joke, right? Yeah, we are. And we're not going to let that go. Again, when you look at the tentacles of this operation, and when you have children who were sex trafficked to powerful people, that's one big piece of this. But also the other side of it is all the financial crimes. And then, of course, the ties to a foreign government, all being facilitated perhaps by our own intelligence community, the CIA, Mossad, working hand in hand. As, again, Colonel Towner Watkins has pointed out on our show, like, they don't operate independently. I mean, the CIA and Mossad, MI6, are all in one group. So operating Jeffrey Epstein as some sort of a honeypot operation or otherwise, I'd love to know the answers to. I'd love to know who was implicated in all of this. And I'd love to know the people that are in our United States government right now who are implicated in this, child sex trafficking, or involved in child trafficking, or involved in the sexual assault of young girls who are currently serving in our United States government. Tucker Carlson a few weeks ago spoke about how there's kompromat videos and evidence on just, you wouldn't believe how many members of Congress, how many sitting members of Congress, and how many people in Washington, D.C. in general have this kompromat on them. I would like to know that they're, whose bidding are they doing? Like the bidding of the Israeli government, and they're working on behalf of, they're representing a district in the United States House of Representatives. They should be behind bars. That's treason. They should be behind bars for the rest of their life. All right. So we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna reset here. We're waiting on our guest. He's trying to connect right now. We'll try to get to that.
We're very excited for the first time to have Elijah Schaefer on. He is the person who is being sued by Kash Patel's girlfriend for wordless implication of something she does not like. If you have not read the book 1984, please do so. I've read it twice now because it continues to inform exactly what we're after right now. So, okay, we're going to get to that in just a second. First, we want to tell you about our friends over at Armra, because if you're feeling sluggish, bloated, not like yourself, well, of course, life bombards us with silent threats. Processed food, artificial light, modern stressors disrupt your gut, drain your energy. Well, that's why we have supplements like colostrum. Armra's colostrum is nature's original blueprint for health. If you are a mammal and you've ever nursed, you know what colostrum is. It's the first milk that you make that is basically like gold for your baby. It is like health times a million. It's like unicorn blood. It's basically the best. Once you see that, you're like, okay, I'm good. I'm setting my baby up for life. Colostrum is packed with over 400 bioactive nutrients that fortify gut health, fuel fitness recovery, and strengthen immune health, supporting your best performance every day. So you can take a version of colostrum that comes from cows, not from women, and you can optimize your health. And in fact, I put it in my coffee most days, and it's fantastic. We have worked out a special offer for our audience. You can get 30% off your first subscription order if you go to armra.com/redacted. One more time, that's armra.com/redacted. Or enter the code redacted to get 30% off your first subscription order. That's armra.com/redacted. Give them a try. armra.com/redacted. All right. So.
All right. Well, it looks like Elijah is at the airport and he has asked to reschedule for tomorrow. He's unable to join us. We thought he was going to be in the studio today. I didn't realize he was at an airport. So, okay, we'll try to get him on tomorrow, unfortunately. So let's just take some of your super chats and let's sort of reset and see where we're going here. I think we have our next guest coming up anyway here in a second. So let's just check in here. I'm trying to be patient because I know it cannot happen overnight. It's going to take time to fix things. Barrel Mama says $5 super chat about Jeffrey Epstein. Trying to be patient. I mean, that's a good thing to do. Like, oh, I'm just trying to be patient. I'm trying to take them at their word. But we literally have Kash Patel sitting in front of Congress telling us that there's nothing to see here. We have Dan Bongino, like, going on national television on his friends at Fox and Friends, basically telling everyone nothing to see here. Like, I've looked at everything. If there was something, I would tell you, but there's nothing to really worry about here.
Yeah.
let's see. Derek Domino says, your guest says he doesn't believe Epstein worked for Mossad, plus worked for establishment tool Ryan Grimm. I don't trust him. Okay. Gotcha. Thank you for that. I mean, I don't know if he, I mean, do we have direct evidence he worked for Mossad? That's the thing. Like, worked for, I think what he's saying is, I'm not putting words in his mouth, but like, worked for the CIA almost never is the case. Worked for Mossad is almost never the case. Worked for MI6 is almost never the case. Like, you have all of these like CIA adjacent assets or people who work on behalf of their agency. I said this to a friend the other day, intelligence adjacent. And that's like such a common, like, oh, they're not actually in the CIA. They're not actually in Mossad. They're just intelligent adjacent. So they're working for them. They've got some sort of compromat on them. They're being used as a honeypot. They're being given all sorts of money by these agencies to carry this out on government officials. But they're not, they don't work for Mossad. They're just agency adjacent to Mossad. I've talked to a lot of people in the intelligence community who say, yeah, most people don't actually work for the agency. They're used or brought in as an asset in that regard. All right.
That is something that, what is the book? Confessions of an Economic Hitman. I did not love that book, but I do think that that's how the world works. And what this gentleman said is he basically had kind of like an Epstein type life. He was not really anybody with an impressive background. He came from working class families. Can you find me the author's name of that book? In sort of Ivy League towns, he had a okay education. He was working in, I think, academia or finance or something like that, was doing just fine. And then someone came to him one day and said, you can do this. You work on paper for this company, but what you do is you go around the world and you shake down third world governments to take on debt. And then when they can't pay it back, they give the United States power. And basically it was a non-governmental intelligence bully. Like he calls himself an economic hitman. I do think that that's how the world works. And it works that way on behalf of several governments, not just one. And I think that that's what the deep state is. Like that's what we're seeing. So it may not have been the Israeli government in a way that Israeli officials would know about it, because that's not how it works. Go ahead.
Mary Ledo says, Whitney Webb said that he worked for Mossad. Mary, no, we've interviewed Whitney many, many times on the show. I think what you're doing is conflating. Just be careful, because I think even Whitney has even come out and said people have been taking her words out of context. Whitney has specifically said that Epstein had connections to Israeli intelligence. But her... more broadly, like, I don't believe she's ever said that he worked for Mossad. But I think she said he had connections to Israeli intelligence. So just to be clear, and I think she's actually defended that in public. But I'd love to have Whitney back on the show. We've been trying to actually, so hopefully we'll do that. Okay. Where are we now? John Perkins.
The ICE story. Let's do that.
All right, let's do that. Well, the liberal city of Chicago is collapsing in real time. This weekend, bodies were just seen laying on the side of the street with bullet holes in them in some sort of a shootout, just laying there, cars driving by. Like, this is Chicago. Want to go take in a show downtown Chicago? Just step over the bodies as you go downtown. No one stopped to help them. People just driving by. All night long, this happens. And now Latin street gangs in Chicago are now ordering their illegal immigrant members to shoot on site when ICE is conducting ICE raids. DHS officials are reporting this. Watch.
Federal agents here in the Chicago area are on alert tonight following word they are being targeted by leaders of a major street gang. This comes as Border Patrol agents are attacked by an individual shooter. Senior correspondent Mike Tobin has the story here in Chicago tonight.
Chicago police get caught in the unrest in the Little Village neighborhood after DHS says a man drove up in a Jeep and fired shots at Border Patrol agents.
Back, 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 back.
Now, after shell casings and video were collected from the scene, multiple agencies tracked the shooter and a suspect is in custody.
An illegal alien that has a past felony conviction for firearms. This suspect's in custody, and they're pursuing leads based on this suspect. It appears he was in the Jeep, and he was armed.
So this is all too common. Liberals getting together to now build avoid ICE kits with whistles and everything. I mean, this is unbelievable. They're getting together. If you want to like volunteer as like a wealthy white person who doesn't live anywhere near any of the problems, you can come together and create ICE awareness kits with whistles and everything so that like you can avoid ICE and now targeting ICE specifically. Terry Newsom knows all about this. Of course, he is the host of Behind Enemy Lines in the Chicagoland area, and he has been out on the streets seeing what is happening here. Terry, welcome back to the show. Great to see you.
Thank you both for having me back on. I appreciate it.
So, I mean, you're seeing this now, Latin gangs specifically calling out shoot on site ICE agents.
Yes.
Does this surprise you at all?
No, the Little Village area is full of Latin kings. That's where a lot of the trouble's been occurring. You probably saw that recently with the Jeep and so forth. So they're not only calling to like shoot ICE, they're also giving $2,000 rewards to give G2 or intelligence on some of these officers. I have a friend that lives in the area where I grew up. He's getting ready to buy a house. They already knew about it. They put it out. He had to back off of the house. He just had a child. He's been with ICE for 7 years, brand new baby. He had to go to a different location. So they're going out of their way to try to identify these people. And then we have Mayor Johnson and Pritzker, who are emboldening these people, right, with all their statements about jackbooted thugs and they deserve this, Nazis, all these crazy things that are occurring by our politicians and by the media, who is not given the true full picture of what's going on with many of these arrests. For instance, the one woman, they said that ICE charged into a kindergarten school and ripped this teacher out from the school. It wasn't true. They were in pursuit of her. She pulled over and then she ran back into the school and was arrested within the foyer of the school. And they're blaming the ICE officers for raiding the school itself. And if you remember the very first day when Holman said he was going to come to Chicago, remember back in the winter, and he backed off. Well, they said that they were going to schools and they were surrounding schools and going to start arresting people. They're creating this narrative to put our officers at risk as well as the communities at risk.
And what is the goal then? Because they're not going to push ICE back. ICE has said this is that they are looking in, and, you know, we're not supporting or defending certain types of, let's say, community shakedowns or whatever. But there's no discussion here about where is this going to end other than anarchy?
I said this before, and I'm sure you probably did. I think the Democrats are trying to push us into their second civil war that they're starting. I really do. I believe they have no other policies or anything to move forward and take power and control. And they're starting to divide us again. We know that Pritzker's going to run for president, right? This, he thinks he puts him on this national stage with the radical leftists. We've got Mayor Johnson. He's got a 6% approval rating. So now we're having the media over and over and over again, hitting ICE agents, hitting Trump, hitting Holman, instead of hitting these guys for the bad policies that's ruining our state, the city of Chicago. So I think they're trying to deflect and take advantage of the media utilizing their opportunity to make us look like bad people. When I say us, ICE, and people on our side that want illegal criminal aliens out of America.
Yeah, you mentioned Brandon Johnson. Of course, he came out, I think, yesterday and called on the United Nations. Like, he gave this impassioned speech calling on the United Nations to step in to stop Trump using his own federal authority with National Guard and ICE to come in and arrest illegal immigrants in the city, violent illegal immigrants in the city, the United Nations. I mean, talk about a globalist nut job.
Yeah. It's, I mean, Chicago's been a war zone. Everybody knows that. Now, all of a sudden that we're arresting illegal criminal illegals, he's going to go to the UN and beg for them to come and help save the city of Chicago. He doesn't care when his own people within his community shoot and kill babies and innocent people when they do drive-by shootings. But now, all of a sudden, when we're picking up these criminal illegal aliens, he's worried about the communities. Even when we had those centers in Chicago, he hired Guard of World Security from Canada, which is an international organization that does security for the UN. He paid those people. When me and Ben Berkwam tried to go and physically film from public areas, they would come out and hit us and push us, attack us, smack our phones. This is the type of stuff that these Democrats are trying to hide. They don't want us to see the truth. They, matter of fact, they have a wanted poster for me, Benny Johnson, Ben, and other folks that go to the ICE center to film these people attacking ICE officers.
Right. So they have a new, I guess they're calling it like ICE, what are they calling it? Tic-tac-toe or something like that. They've got a wanted poster picture of you. And a bunch of other individuals, reporters and otherwise, basically targeting you, like to come after you.
Yeah, this is Antifa, and they have our pictures on a bingo card, and then they have an email address to Antifa. That's Antifa's email address to let them know if they see any of us at these ICE facilities. I go there, you know, every time we go there peacefully, we get attacked. Just this weekend again, we get attacked by them. We don't go in there and start a confrontation. And the Democrats like this, right? I got attacked at Lombard 2 months ago, and the police refused to arrest the woman. All I said is, do you support Trenda Largua? She got in my face, smacked my phone, tried to drag it out of my hand, and the police wouldn't do anything. I mean, they're on the side of these criminals.
Now, speaking of criminals in Chicago, I mean, this is only one subset of gangs. These are the Latin gangs, but Chicago also has a problem with black gangs and black-on-black violence. Yes. Where do they exist? Where do they come down on what's... they're just neutral observers? That seems unlikely. So don't you think that, I mean, yeah, tell me the story. I don't want to speculate.
No, that's okay. So Little Village is Hispanic, right? I mean, obviously they're in the Hispanic, Chicago's full of Hispanics, Mexicans, right? I mean, that's the matter of fact, my friend said they're arresting all kinds of people, Russians, Polish, you know, but I mean, the main, our population is mostly Hispanics, right? With the illegal aliens. So they're going in this neighborhood. I have friends that were gangster disciples, older guys my age. They are upset with this stuff. They want to get rid of these guys, right? And I think one of the times we were on your show, we're talking about some of these Trenda Largua gangs are starting to creep into the African-American territories. And there's been a couple skirmishes, right? So the African-American gangs do not want these guys here, right? I mean, it's competition for their turf, right? So anything that you hear otherwise about the African-American community are leftist shills. They're leftist shills. The African-American community in Chicago want them out of the city of Chicago. Anything else you hear is a blatant, absolute lie.
Richard Porter has written a piece for Real Clear Politics. This really hit me hard, because it just shows you how disconnected we are in the United States right now. I would encourage all of you to read it. It's called The Party of Whatever It Takes, Illinois Democrats' Descent into Defiance. I'm just stunned that 84% of Democratic primary voters in Illinois say, yes, do whatever it takes to stop ICE. 84% of Democratic voters in Illinois are fine with do whatever it takes. That means kill them, attack them, dox them, go after them. You're in favor of your city and your state descending into absolute chaos because of illegal immigration. Like, what bizarro world do we live in?
That's the brainwashing of the media. I think the media is probably equally, if not more dangerous than the Democratic Party. Right. Because they have some sense of legitimacy because they're not controlled like the government is in China, North Korea. Well, you know what? They are controlled by the Democrats. They're controlling the narrative and they're dividing our country further and further, including all these whack jobs in the state of Illinois, where I spent my whole life. The media does not cover what's going on here. I just went to a Marriott hotel 2 days ago in suburb over here because they were protesting the ICE agents there, and they would go back at night and try to keep them awake. I was there 5 seconds. Woman starts getting in my face, yelling how much she hates me, knows me by my name, and then she says she wishes I was dead like Charlie Kirk. simply because I'm against illegal aliens in, you know, flooding our country. It's remarkable on how dangerous this media is in the city of Chicago and state of Illinois, because people are isolated. And if you don't have enough common sense to look at other media outlets, they're being brainwashed by the left.
They think they can intimidate you, right? I mean, I think that that's what they think they can do to you. Maybe they don't know who you are, right?
There was even an alderman there who told me I couldn't stand on the sidewalk. I'm standing with all these protesters. He goes, I have a badge. He had his badge that he's an alderman. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to say what I said to him, but, you know, he's like, who are they going to tell me that I cannot count? They could protest. They could protest law enforcement, and we are peaceful. I never start trouble unless they start it first, but never go there with the intent to start trouble. And they're always wanting to attack us. The Lord lady wanted to push me in the street. Go in the street, Terry. You know, they're nuts. They're crazy. And things are going to get worse because the media is enabling it. And the Democrats want this division to happen to distract from their awful policies that's ruining our country.
Terry Newsom, thank you for standing up for this country. Thank you for trying to stand up for the people of Illinois who maybe don't have a voice in all of this because the crazy Democrats are running the show there right now. Someone in our chat room just
behind
said,
enemy lines. Behind enemy lines.
That's where you are.
I just want to point this out. Who's her name? Jennifer Beledge? The woman who has been behind all the money and trans and the Pritzkers. There's a story there. Jennifer Bielek is her name. Have you seen it?
I am not familiar with her, but I know the Pritzkers are behind all this indoctrination and tampon machines in the boys' bathroom, all the stuff my kids just graduated high school. It's disgusting. Yeah.
So look into some of her early talks that are gender critical about the power behind the Pritzker family, pharmaceuticals, transhumanism. I'm just going to leave it right there. The rest of you,
I will.
That's a power up. Okay. You guys can take that or not. It's amazing. So, you can make this connection about like social decay and transhumanism. There's a lot there. That's all I'm going to say. We don't have time for it, but it's always great to see you. Thank you for coming.
Thanks, Terry.
Thanks.
All right. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about the rise of Christian nationalism. In fact, let's do that now. Why don't we just do that now? The rise of Christian nationalism in this country. Why are they so afraid? Why are they so afraid of Christians?
Well, the media is saying that we need to be afraid of Christian nationalism. Now, specifically, Sky News lately was warning British people that this is a problem. They admit that, well, it's kind of always been an American thing, but we're seeing it here now. What exactly does that mean, Christian nationalism? Is that what Christians say they are? Why is it so scary? Can you imagine them saying this about any other group? Like, we're really concerned about the rise of Hindu. You know, what are we going to do about that? Hindu nationalism.
The Quakers.
Right. So joining us to discuss is Father Robinson. He is a British expat living in America, so he has a good perspective on why is this so scary in the UK? Why is it scary in the US? First of all, why is the term used as a slur and not a neutral descriptor, do you think, Father?
Because it's the truth, and the enemy hates the truth, and so he will always use it as an attack. I find it hilarious, though, especially that this is happening back home. England is quite literally a Christian nation, right? So we have a king who's a supreme governor of the Church of England. We have a state church, the Church of England, which is encapsulated in our judiciary, our legislative. It's in both houses of parliament. We are literally a Christian nation. So to be called a Christian nationalist shouldn't be a slur. It should actually be the default for everybody in my country. It's bizarre that we've gotten to a point where the left can go, ha, you're a Christian nationalist, you far-right bigots. It's like, we were all Christian nationalists about 2 minutes ago.
Right. What do you think they even mean? I read the whole Sky News article about why it's scary, and I could not figure out how they even define it. Could you?
Well, it means anything. It means whatever they want it to mean. It's a scary bogeyman word. But the people they were writing about, I know very well. Bishop Kai Dewar and I pray together every week. In fact, people can find him on my YouTube channel, at Common Sense Crusade. We pray on a Sunday evening at 3:30 Eastern Time. And he's a wonderful Christian man. And in the interview with Sky News, or as I call them, Sly News, he sat there and he said, look, Britain is multicultural, but we are a Christian nation, and I want to lead people to Christ. Now, That's something that I should hear from every single clergyman. Like, what's strange about that? What's far right about that? What's even Christian nationalist about that? It's the basic truth that if you are a Christian clergyman, you believe in Jesus Christ. And if you want to love your neighbor, you want your neighbor to believe in Jesus Christ too. Therefore, your job is literally to lead people to Jesus Christ. And we've come so far away from our faith that at this point, the people in the country are saying, What are they doing? That's strange. What are they observing, this kind of weird religion? It's our religion. It's our national religion. Thank God for people like Bishop Kai Dewar who are bringing it back. You know, I saw him on the stage with Tommy Robinson. I don't know if you saw that clip where he was leading people in the Lord's Prayer. He's like, full of vigor and zeal. And that's what we need right now. Not these wet liberals who are like, oh, yes, well, we're quietly Christian. We don't want to tell everyone about it. That would be uncouth. Like, no, we need to tell everyone about it. Go forth and multiply. Disciple the nation.
Or this new strain where there's an old guy on Fox News that no one watches called Mark Levin. And he, I think over the weekend, was basically saying that unless you have to in America, or you're basically anti-American, you have to adhere to the Judeo-Christian values. You can't just be like a Christian nationalist. You have to adhere to Judeo-Christian values, otherwise you're anti-American. So this is the kind of thing we're hearing now from people like Mark Levin.
I feel sorry for Mark Levin because he's been led astray quite clearly by modern heretics, you know, dispensationalists who pretend that the Israel, the state of Israel, the 1948 state of Israel that Britain helped create with the Rothschilds, is somehow the Israel that we find in the Bible. They both have the same word, sure, but it's not the same thing. The Israel of the Bible was there 2,000 years ago. This new modern state with Benjamin Netanyahu committing war crimes is not the Israel of the Bible. But people like Mark Levin aren't smart enough to discern that, and they've been led astray, and Ted Cruz is very similar. And so when Mark Levin gets there on camera and says, you must follow Judean values, you must follow Christian values, you must follow Judean Christian values, otherwise you hate America, he means it well. You can see he means well, but he's confused. There's nothing Judean about America. That none of the founding fathers...
Right, I was just about to ask. I know there's a lot of talk about... Sorry, can I follow up on this?
No, please.
I mean, we talk about the founding fathers, and I see people all the time saying, I saw Mark Levin saying, the founding of this country, it was built on Judeo-Christian values. And I'm sorry, I'm just going back to all of my reading about the American Revolution, the founding fathers, sure, referencing the Old Testament, but where was there Judeo values pushed into the United States Constitution or Declaration of Independence, the founding of our country, whether you had deists, you had Christians, you had Quakers, but I'm sorry, maybe I missed that part. Maybe you could educate me. Where did I miss that, Mark Levin?
Clayton, this country was around for 200 years before the word Judeo-Christian was even uttered anywhere in the world, right? It's a post-World War II phrase that actually originally meant Jews who converted to Christianity, which is what we should want. We should want all Jews to come to know their Messiah, Jesus Christ, right? And so we should want all Jews to become Judeo-Christian. It wasn't meant for Christians to become Judeo-Christian. It wasn't meant for Christians to water down their faith and pretend it's the same as Judaism. Jesus Christ is the living God. That's what we believe as Christians. Jews reject him as the Messiah, as the Christ, as living God. Therefore, they are not fully in the faith. Therefore, we should want to bring them in. But this Judeo-Christian waters it down and says, well, we have the Old Testament. The Jews have the Old Testament. Therefore, we're the same. It's not the same. We believe in a person who is Jesus Christ. We believe that person is God. We believe he is the only way to salvation. The only way to the Father is through the Son. If you reject the Son, you reject the Father. No one wants to reject God. That's the way to hell.
Right. My mother is a Jehovah's Witness and an ardent Jehovah's Witness. And I was asking her about this because her faith tells her not to put any faith in politics or man-made governments because she has a faith only in Jesus Christ and God. And I asked her what she thinks of Judeo-Christian values, and she had no idea what that meant because she doesn't follow politics. It's just not something that is defined in her strict Christianity. And I was raised a Jehovah's Witness, and I had never heard that before either. And so I had a really good conversation with my mother about her Christian faith as entry through this politics. But another thing that Sky News is telling us is that Christian nationalism is anti-Islam. And not just anti-Islam, because, of course, if you're a Christian, you believe in your faith, you don't believe in Islam. That doesn't mean you hate Muslim people at all, but that's what they're selling us. And a Christian is not allowed to hate people and attack groups of people. So what do you make of this angle?
So Christians are called to love our enemies, and that's the hardest thing in the world to do, right? But to love your enemy means to lead them to Christ. To love your neighbor means to lead them to Christ. And therefore, if we love people who follow Muhammad, we want them to stop following Muhammad because we see him as a false prophet at best. Some of us see him as a demon. We want them to stop following him and to start following Christ. And that means we can make a distinction between the person and the ideology they follow. We used to call it love the sinner, hate the sin, right? So I hate Islam, but I love people who follow Muhammad. And I want those people to come to follow Christ, because that's the only way, I believe, that's the only way they can get to heaven. Now, in modernity, people who aren't Christian want all Christians to secede to the idea that, well, Christianity is a religion among many religions. It's one way to heaven amongst many ways to heaven. It's one way to God amongst many ways to God. But we don't believe that. They want us to be universalists or pluralists, and that's a heresy. I cannot accept that Islam is an alternative path to heaven and that Muhammad is an alternative path to God and that Allah is an alternative of God. I can't. My faith teaches me there's one way. There's a narrow gate to heaven. And again, his name is Jesus Christ, and all that follow him will go to heaven, and all that reject him will go to hell. It's a really simple faith, really. I can't water it down for people to make them happy.
In the United States, if you had your druthers, Father, what would the rise of Christian nationalism look like in the United States? What would, if you could say this is what I would wish for in the United States...
Well, we need this right now, because many Americans are falling into the trap of believing, much like we just said, that Christianity is a option amongst many options, forgetting that this country is a Christian country founded by Christian men with Christian ideas and Christian principles. The founding documents were implicitly Christian. In some of the settlements and some of the colonies, they were explicitly Christian. Everything about this country is Christian, and that gives people the freedom to worship the Christian God or not. But that doesn't mean that other faiths, other ideologies, other gods should have equal weight. And right now in Dearborn, we're seeing Christians being persecuted. We're seeing the Adhan, you know, the call to prayer, that horrible noise, at 5:30 a.m. blasted into people's homes. In Texas, we're seeing a Sharia city being built, and people are trying to push back, but they don't know how, because they think, well, they have a faith, I have a faith, they're allowed their faith. Sure, they're allowed their faith, but they're not allowed to build their faith in your Christian country. Americans need to wake up and say, no more mosques. This is not a country for mosques. This is not a country for an ideology built by a warmongering pedophile who married a girl at 6 and consummated it at 9. People who follow that are lost. We want them to come to know Christ. We'll help them. We'll love them. We won't hate them, but we'll hate their ideology, and we won't build monuments or buildings to that ideology because we see it as evil. And some things are explicitly good. Some things are explicitly evil. Islam is evil, and Americans need to say, we don't want it in our country. Thank you very much.
I've just been spending quite a bit of time lately going back to one of my favorite subjects, which is the American Revolution, and just been reading as much as I can on it. And one of the books I just picked up recently is about George Washington as a Christian, just his faith. And it permeated just about everything that he did. He believed that, you know, if he was going to be shot, he would be shot, but that he was being led by God to lead this country. So when I look at the founding of this country, I just don't know where these people come up with this idea. So what would the founding fathers have said at the time of allowing freedom of religion in this country? But you go ahead, you can build, like in Texas, what's happening there, or in Dearborn, Michigan. Like what, as I know I'm asking you to put words in their mouth or think in that way, but what do you think?
So we have the ideas that they gave and the words that they used at the time. You know, the word religion has evolved. And I think part of that is the enemy changing. You know, the enemy often changes words like racism is often thrown about at people today as a power dynamic between whites and non-whites. That used to mean discrimination between against someone based on their ethnicity. In a similar way, religion used to mean believers in God. And now it's been warped into believers in a God or believers of a type of faith structure. No, that's changed. So when the founding fathers said freedom of religion, what they meant was you can be a Catholic or you can be a Protestant. It's up to you. What they didn't mean is you could be a Jew or a Mohammedan or a Hindu or a Sikh. That was never a consideration. And so the people who are running this country now should be considering it from the founding fathers' perspective of how do we make this a better Christian nation? How do we better implement Christian morality into our legislation? How do we, you know, stop the killing of unborn children, for example, or promoting the Bible in schools as another example? Good things. And how do we stop bad things coming here, such as people building statues to Satan and calling it a satanic club, for example, or building mosques to Allah? All these examples, there are legislators, people who are governing this country, need to think about from a Christian moral perspective.
Well, I mean, it's interesting, though. I mean, we're getting to a point where these things will hit the Supreme Court more and more. And most of the justices are Catholic. They still are. It's interesting to see how that will play out. That's just something I've been noticing myself. So,
do you think we'll see the battle to get rid of same-sex marriage, for example, through the Supreme Court?
No, I don't think so. The Supreme Court declined to hear an appeal to that because, I mean, it was a crazy appeal in the first place. No, I don't. But I guess I'm just saying this. I wish that you and I had a book club. I just finished Amy Comey Barrett's book, and she is a Catholic. And in fact, most of the justices are, and that had escaped my attention when I was a liberal. And so I'm going back now to read Clarence Thomas's biography because he too is a Catholic, and books by Antonin Scalia. And I'm just interested in how those things. Yeah, I'm just curious. I'm not really asking you a question. I'm sharing.
Well, he is a man of integrity, isn't he? I don't know if you watched his swearing in. They were grilling him, and he's just standing by his beliefs, and he's willing to die for his beliefs. That's what I think we need. You know, I do see that in people today. Charlie Kirk is another one. You mentioned the founding fathers and George Washington and people willing to die, not wanting to die, but willing to be shot for their Christian beliefs. And I think Charlie Kirk was another one of those people who thought, you know what, if I stand up and speak the truth, I'm very well maybe shot for it, but it's still worth doing anyway. And that's what all of us need to do as Christians, as conservatives, as people who are patriots and believers in Christendom and the West. We need to stand up, speak the truth, proclaim the gospel, fight against heresy, fight against evils of false religions and false gods, and do that in love and in grace. And then this will be an even better nation than it is today.
Yeah.
Father, someone in the chat room just said, we got to clip that part. You talk about building a religion and clip that and post that on social media. Father, always great to see you. Always eye-opening, and you always get me thinking. So thank you so much for that, as always.
It's always a pleasure. God bless you both.
Thank you, Father. God bless you as well. All right. Well, we got a lot of comments here in the chat room. Great to see everyone here. By the way, Elijah is going to join us on the show tomorrow. He got held up with all this government shutdown stuff at the airport. So he was on his way to the studio and then got held up at the airport with all of the delays and craziness with the government shutdown. So,
gosh, that's too much.
5 hours delayed that he had to deal with. So he'll be on the show tomorrow. We apologize for that. Tam McIntosh says Charlie Kirk was opening his eyes to radical Zionism. Absolutely. That's verified. That is verified not only from his texts that we know about with Candace Owens and otherwise, but many other sources have now confirmed that as well.
Indeed.
Charlie became Catholic, was buried in Catholic cemetery, thus the cover up. I know that's what Candace said, that he was buried in a Catholic cemetery, but I think there was somebody at Turning Point saying that that didn't happen. I don't know what the end. I don't know what the end answer of that is. All right. Well, I know this little one over here is not feeling super well. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna just I'll take a few more super chats here in a second. But first. You know, I honestly couldn't do this job every day if it wasn't for ExpressVPN. That's not an exaggeration. Every single day that I need to check websites, read reports, access sources from around the world, I need to use ExpressVPN because the truth is many of those websites are censored. This just happened to me. In fact, I was in the UK, I was in Scotland, and I had to jump on a couple of different websites. I couldn't. They were blocked. And without ExpressVPN, I would have been completely cut off, unable to access different websites while I was there. So here's how it works. ExpressVPN lets you change your online location instead of being stuck with the version of the internet that your government wants you to see. You can connect through one of ExpressVPN's secure servers in another country. That means if a site is blocked in the UK, I can instantly connect through a US server and bam, it's wide open. Same thing if you want to access more shows or streaming services, you're no longer limited to what's available in your country. It's not just about censorship. ExpressVPN also encrypts your internet connection so your personal data is secure. Not hackers, not corporations, not even internet providers can track what you're doing. It's about privacy. It's about online freedom. So don't wait until you run into some kind of a wall like I have. Take back control of your internet today. Find out how you can get up to 4 months free by clicking the link in the description box below or just scanning the QR code that's right on your screen or go to expressvpn.com/redacted. Again, find out how you can get up to 4 months free by clicking that link in the description or scanning that QR code on the screen. Visit expressvpn.com/redacted. All right, let's see here. Barrel Mama, let's go through some of your super chats. $5 super chat. Thank you so much. Says there were protests in Tyler, Texas today over immigrant arrests and Smith County's partnership with ICE. Wouldn't be surprised there. Thank you. Houstonic Live, too. Thank you for your super chat. David K says, are you two wearing pants? Yes, we're wearing pants. I know it's kind of weird because, you know, like when I used to do Fox and Friends back in the day, like I had to wear a full suit, you know, and my shoes had to be shined and they had to look great. And now the fact that I'm, you know, I get to do my own thing at my own desk, I don't feel the need to do all that. Hey, Turtlehead, that sounds like a lot of fun. Let's do that. Turtlehead. LWB, anybody, David, Philip, you guys want to jump in on anything? Remember the Reformation. There's a historic reason for the difference between Protestantism and Catholicism. Let me open this a little wider and can read it. And the Catholic institution, Rome never changes. User says, Dr. Jack Kruse talks about light. Can you put him on the show, please? It would be your most important show ever. About light. Dr. Jack Kruse. I'll write that down. I'm always open to good guests. Gail says, thanks for all your hard work. Hope your better half feels better soon. I hope she does as well. Megatron says, atheism is out. Christianity is in. I mean, I think you've definitely seen a decline in atheism. I don't know what, like, polls I've seen recently show that to be true, but why do you do? All right. Jeffrey Martin says, does your hairdresser know that you're not a lesbian? Yes. You have gray roots. Time for some black polish. Yeah, when I get my hair cut, you can start to see the salt and pepper. Like when it gets a little longer, like it's hard to see, but no, I don't dye my hair, but you can see the grays coming through there.
Yeah, I embrace my grays.
Yeah.
I earned it.
Well, I'm not going to dye my hair. Are you kidding me? Barrel Mama says, you should look into the research of Tarleton State University has done on okra and fenugreek, and they're polysaccharides to remove microplastics from water sources. I'll check that out. Thank you, Barrel Mama. We have one of those reverse osmosis systems. Oh, okay. So Dr. Krauss talked about the health in your body and how light affects human biology at the biophysical level. I, you know, have you seen all these studies like where any amount of light in your bedroom at night can lead to potential problems with strokes, other issues, heart attacks? Awesome, Turtlehead. I appreciate that. Salt and pepper hair is distinguished listening, looking. Any other super chats here? Thank you. Anthony Goodley has been a member for 44 months. Thank you, Anthony. Always great to see Anthony, one of our mods here. Yeah, our gray hair, we earn it for sure. Oh, Grover stopped by to say hello. This little guy stopped by. So the other day, so he gets out a lot of times and he chases these prairie dogs all over the place. And he like kind of goes crazy with these rabbits and prairie dogs. And when we lived in Europe for a few years, and there's no there's no animals. It's like nothing to, for him to chase. It's like no rabbits. There's nothing. So he's like kind of going crazy here in the Rocky Mountains. He kind of goes crazy. He's got some grays. Look at his little chin. He's got a little grays now on his chin. And he's only 5 years old. He's only 5 years old, this guy. Birdie Spar says, Clayton, it's not gray hair. My husband says it's chrome. Yeah, Simon, I'd love that. Let's do it. Curious about that. Storms and Stampede says, what about moonlight? Only one night a month has total darkness other than that with the stars. I think you're talking about artificial light, specifically artificial light, like LED lights. You know how everyone in their bedroom has like all these like clocks and things like that, smoke detectors, and they've all got like little LED lights on. And the research now is pretty overwhelming about how detrimental that is, especially to young children. So can you like cover that, you know, can you cover that stuff as much as you can? Tom Alexandrovich. Dog stole the show today. He's a great little mini pincher, although he like, man, if he, we're dealing with a whole fence thing right now, but he just, he'll just dig a hole and get like right out of anything. So he's also been attacking the neighbor's drain spouts lately. So, because if a rabbit goes in one of the drain spouts, I mean, I should send a picture and share a picture with you guys if I could, because it's like he shredded the end of this rain spout, like trying to get at a rabbit. And the owner of the house came out, he heard like a rabbit like screaming in there, like waiting, you know, his life was about to end in this like, in this rain spout. Fortunately, we managed to get him. It's just a joke. Oh, we're wearing pants. No, I know. I don't think you'd actually be curious if we're wearing pants. So yeah, we're going to try to get this Dr. Cruz on the show. That's fascinating. I am fascinated about like light therapy, sleep, all the studies on sleep, grounding, like just going out in your, you know, backyard and your own grass. LEDs are terrible. Jason Smith says LEDs are terrible for your health. Yeah. Scent therapy. Yeah, long story says, let's get a frequency monitor and you will switch back to incandescent. The LEDs are killing you slowly. Michelle says, yeah, is he a dachshund? He's a mini pincher. He's a mini pincher, is the dog, Grover. Is David here?
He was in production. I don't know if he's got
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. My mic was muted. But yeah, if LEDs are killing us, I'm going to be very dead.
Oh, my God. Yeah, your house just
fell. I'd say you'd already be dead. Yeah. You should look like you're 90.
JLou714 says, we can't even buy incandescent bulbs anymore unless you know a source. I don't know. I think you can get them. Can you get them like internationally or something like that? I remember when I worked at Fox, at the time, my friend Tucker told me, he's like, I can't stand that they're trying to take away our incandescent bulbs. So he just went crazy and stocked up and bought like thousands of them. So he's got like closets, like full of them still, I think, because he refuses. He's like, I'm never going to use an LED bulb. Are you kidding me? So he just bought like thousands of incandescent bulbs. That's the only thing with those things. They last, you know. The last like 6 months or a few months, right? You know, yeah, President Bush got rid of those bulbs. In the Belfry says, yeah, I stocked up on Thomas Edison light bulbs years ago. I love that. Spare me your angst, says, miss having dogs, but it's unfair to take one at my age. That, and it's hard for me when I lose one. It tears out a piece of my heart when they pass on to a rainbow bridge. Ugh, I don't want to think about that.
Yeah, no.
It's hard to think about. No. I mean, I had a cat when I was growing up. I never had a dog. So the fact that, like, this is our first family dog with our kids, oh, I don't even want to think about that. But he's, you know, he's a young boy. He's a young boy. As long as he doesn't get carried away and get taken away by a coyote or something like that, you know, if he's too stupid. Or like a hawk. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried like one day I'm just going to be sitting there. I'm going to just see a red-tailed hawk fly by or a bald eagle fly by. And there goes my dog up in the air.
Yeah, he's a little too big for a hawk. An eagle, big eagle maybe, but hawk, no.
Yeah, hopefully not. He's pretty big. I mean, he's like 11 pounds. So I don't think,
yeah,
you know, too big for that, hopefully. Oh no, Anthony says, I just lost my oldest cat. It sucks. Yeah, that's awful. Yeah, I love dogs. Although he had me up at like 1 a.m. last night and he had to go to the bathroom. I was like, oh, and I'm like sleepwalking. I'm like dead to the world. It's the worst. Bless you.
Thank you.
Spare me your angst. Says coyotes are horrible at snatching smaller dogs. Keep your eye out if they're in your area. Oh yeah, I was just talking to a doctor friend of mine the other day, and he said, watch out for your small dogs with these coyotes. A family friend, full fenced in backyard. They're out in their backyard playing. They have a big like labradoodle and like a small little dog, and they're just hanging out in their backyard on a Saturday afternoon as a family, just doing different things. The wife was like working in the flower bed and the husband was like doing something on the grill, and out of the blue, freaking coyote jumps over their like stone wall, just out of the blue, grabs the small dog, and just like before they could even do anything, jumped over and was gone.
Damn.
The whole family chased this coyote down through like a cornfield area, and they even, you know, dropped the dog, but the dog was already dead because the moment that coyote grabbed its neck, it was dead. And that same doctor was telling me that he, as a friend, just last week, a wife was like walking her dog at night, taking the dog out for before bedtime, going to the bathroom. It was down kind of by some scrub oak on a, you know, just standing there, just like getting ready for bed. Nighttime, like dusk, I guess, maybe a little after dusk, and boom, coyote just like jumps out of the scrub oak and just grabs the little dog. One bite, and the dog was dead, like instantly. Like, oh my God, don't tell me this.
I knew somebody in Portland that had chickens, and they, like in their backyard, they had a little chicken coop, and raccoons would like pull the chickens through the fence, like piece by piece. They'd basically like just, they'd come out in the morning, and there'd be just some feathers and bits of meat left, and the raccoons would just pull them right through the fence.
I have, when we lived in Europe, we had like 15 chickens, something like that. And yeah, some, I don't know if it was a fox or something got in there. And then a local dog got over our fence somehow and just like destroyed all of the chickens. I saw a hawk swoop down and grab the rooster. I mean, it was like a whole bloodbath. I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. Thank you for that Dr. Cruz recommendation. It says, I know the type of curiosity and science-oriented mind that you have, Clayton, and that's why I recommended Cruz. I appreciate it. So we'll try to get him or her on. It was him, right? On the show. Yeah, I've had, someone says you've got to have Dr. Sala on your show. I've had him on many, many times. I would love to have JP on. So we've been trying to actually work that out. Apparently, so this is kind of crazy. Who cares? I'll tell you. I was working on having JP, who is part of the secret space program, and he's still active duty, by the way. He has been to other planets. He's been to the moon base. He is active duty right now. I've seen the documents. Like I know he's active duty. We were trying to get him on the show, and because there's certain powers that be that want that disclosure to happen. What's crazy is that I was simply texting about it and then suddenly got a separate text saying, you can't do the interview right now. And we're like, but we haven't talked about it to anybody. It's like, well, they're clearly reading text messages. So they kind of stepped in and said, you're not going to do that interview. So we'll see. But I would very much like to. I would love to have him on the show. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Actually, Lynn's Wins says, Clayton, check out Optimize Minerals. They actually work and make you feel so much better. Great guy who runs the company. I will. Because we have a lot of natural supplements on the show that I use every day. So I'm very curious about that. I love the supplements that we have here as sponsors on the show. I already use them. So I will check that out. Clayton just did his hand sign to his gang of cult. What is that? I'd be so bad. Like, if people were like, hey, we're going to analyze Clayton's hand movements, I'd be like, oh my God. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, I talk with my hands all the time. People are like, oh my God, he put his left hand in his right hand. That clearly means that he's a member of the Freemasons, or, you know, like I'd be screwed.
Your Q.
That was when we did my senior year of high school, when they do the, you know, like they vote like the most likely to this or most likely to that. I was voted most likely to have my own cult, just so you know.
I could see that. I could see that. The beard is coming in nicely too.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I love people like people talk about that Nick Fuentes, like playing GTA 5 or whatever it was, you know, like that whole video is like gone viral recently. Oh, the book on Washington. You were curious about that book on Washington. Let me see. I just got it. I was going to read it over the Christmas season. So last year, I was like, I want to read as many books as I can. So that last year, 2024, I think my goal was 55 books. So I read 55 books last year. And then I was like, why am I doing that to myself? Like, reading is great. Reading is important. But I grew up like reading these like thick ass history books that I just loved, you know, that are like 1,000 pages. And I'm like, so in my effort to like reach a certain random number, like I was foregoing like reading bigger, thicker, you know, more in-depth books, because I felt like, oh, I want to hit a certain number. I want to read 55 books. That was like my personal goal last year. Well, and I was like, screw that. I don't give a shit. Like, so this year I'm like, I don't care what number of books I'm reading, as long as I'm enjoying myself and learning something, and also reading quite a bit of fiction and, you know, whatever. So I've read quite a few big ass books this year, like 1,000 page ones that'll take me, you know, many weeks to read. And so I've been really enjoying that. I'm like, oh, I don't, who cares? Who cares what number? Like, who am I proving it to myself? You know, like when I was growing up, I would just read like huge ass, like, biography on Lincoln or about World War II or D-Day or, you know, any Stephen Ambrose books about, you know, Lewis and Clark, one of my favorite books ever. And 500, 600 pages. And, you know, who was I competing with? And so it was such a stupid thing. So I said that to Natalie and she's like, yeah, you know what? You're right. And so, cause we were like, how many books can we read this last year? And this year it's kind of like, yeah, what quality of books can we read this year? And it's been a much better year. I'm enjoying myself, far less pressure, and I'm having way more fun with it, to be honest with you. So there's a book. Let me see if I can find. I highly recommend this book, by the way. If you've never read this, speaking of like Pat Buchanan, this is just sitting here. Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War. Really good book. How Britain Lost Its Empire and the West Lost the World. It's like, it all started here. It's a great book. The rise of globalism and all of that. But let me see if I can find those, that George Washington book that I was talking about with Father Robinson. Let's see if I can find it. I did just buy, by the way, how many of you guys like Nathaniel Philbrick? I've enjoyed his writing over the years. I just bought his book, Bunker Hill, A City, A Siege, A Revolution. The American Revolution series. But where is that other book? Stand by. Two books on George Washington. The Spiritual Journey of George Washington. And I also bought George Washington the Christian. So those books, I'm going to read over the Christmas holiday. Another book I just picked up called Germany 1923, Hyperinflation, Hitler's Putsch, and Democracy in Crisis. I don't know anything about 1923. Like, I'm pretty ignorant about that, and I feel badly. I'm always curious when there's like a big event like that I just don't know nothing about. I can't wait to like dive into it. So that's, people seem to know all about 1923 and what happened in Germany. And I know very little about it. So I think it's an important piece of the World War II story for sure. So anyway, guys, thank you guys for hanging out with me today. Hey, I should mention our website. If you guys want to come over and check it out, if you come over to redacted.inc, we've got a ton of great new content over there, but that's also where you can subscribe to our daily newsletter. We've built out the whole website now. We've got the Redacted Invest section at the top. Click on Start Investing if you want to learn how to escape the paycheck to paycheck life cycle and learn how to break free of the way Wall Street and your government wants you to invest. We kind of walk you through the ways that they don't tell you about. I encourage you to check out my interview with Matt Sorensen on there. It's all there. Plus, we've got the Redacted files. A lot of great stuff happening over at redacted.inc, but I encourage you to sign up for our daily newsletter because it's delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning, and it's totally free. And you can read it in about, you know, your first 5 to 10 minutes over your cup of coffee as well. So thank you guys for hanging out today. Thank you for the well wishes for my wife, Natalie, who's not feeling well, who had a fever. But she said, I think I can do the show. So she's a trooper. But we'll see you back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So hopefully Elijah is going to be joining us here. I know he got stuck at the airport, and some other great guests lined up for you tomorrow on the show as well. Have a great night, everyone.